Chapter 95. Yet exhibited, if that were possible, and vociferated, call Samuel Weller. Apostrophe, it was quite unnecessary to call Samuel Weller, for Samuel Weller stepped briskly into the box the instant his name was pronounced, and placing his hat on the floor, and his arms on the rail, took a bird's-eye view of the bar, and a comprehensive survey of the bench, with a remarkably cheerful and lively aspect. What's your name, sir? ? Inquired the judge. Sam Weller, my lord, ? Replied that gentleman. Do you spell it with a V or a W? ? Inquired the judge. That depends upon the taste and fancy of the speller, my lord, ? Replied Sam. I never had occasion to spell it more than once or twice in my life, but I spells it with a V. ? Here a voice in the gallery exclaimed aloud. Quite right too, Samuel, quite right. Put it down a wee, my lord, put it down a wee. ? Who is that? Who dares address the court? ? Said the little judge, looking up. Usher. ? Yes, my lord. ? Bring that person here instantly. ? Yes, my lord. ? But as the usher didn't find the person, he didn't bring him. And, after a great commotion, all the people who had got up to look for the culprit, sat down again. The little judge turned to the witness, as soon as his indignation would allow him to speak, and said, Do you know who that was, sir? ? I rather suspect it was my father, my lord, ? Replied Sam. Do you see him here now? ? Said the judge. No, I don't, my lord, ? Replied Sam, staring right up into the lantern at the roof of the court. If you could have pointed him out, I would have committed him instantly, ? Said the judge. Sam bowed his acknowledgments and turned, with an impaired cheerfulness of countenance, towards Sergeant Buzfuz. Now, Mr. Weller, ? Said Sergeant Buzfuz. Now, sir, ? Replied Sam. I believe you are in the service of Mr. Pickwick, the defendant in this case? Speak up, if you please, Mr. Weller. ? I mean to speak up, sir, ? Replied Sam. I am in the service of that ere gentleman, and a worry good service it is. ? Little to do, and plenty to get, I suppose? ? Said Sergeant Buzfuz, with jocularity. Oh, quite enough to get, sir, as the soldier said when they ordered him 350 lashes, ? Replied Sam. You must not tell us what the soldier, or any other man, said, sir, ? Interposed the judge. It's not evidence. ? Worry good, my lord, ? Replied Sam. Do you recollect anything particular happening on the morning when you were first engaged by the defendant? Eh, Mr. Weller? ? Said Sergeant Buzfuz. Yes, I do, sir, ? Replied Sam. Have the goodness to tell the jury what it was. ? I had a reglar new fit out o' clothes that morning, gentlemen of the jury, ? Said Sam, and that was a worry particular, and uncommon circumstance with me in those days. ? Hereupon there was a general laugh. And the little judge, looking with an angry countenance over his desk, said, You had better be careful, sir. ? So Mr. Pickwick said at the time, My lord, ? Replied Sam, and I was worry careful o' that ere suit o' clothes, worry careful indeed, my lord. ? The judge looked sternly at Sam for full 2 minutes, but Sam's features were so perfectly calm and serene that the judge said nothing, and motioned Sergeant Buzfuz to proceed. Do you mean to tell me, Mr. Weller, ? Said Sergeant Buzfuz, folding his arms emphatically, and turning half round to the jury, as if in mute assurance, that he would bother the witness yet. Do you mean to tell me, Mr. Weller, that you saw nothing of this fainting on the part of the plaintiff in the arms of the defendant, which you have heard described by the witnesses? Apostrophe, certainly not. Apostrophe, replied Sam. I was in the passage till they called me up, and then the old lady was not there. Apostrophe, now, attend, Mr. Weller, apostrophe, said Sergeant Buzfuzz, dipping a large pen into the inkstand before him, for the purpose of frightening Sam with a show of taking down his answer. You were in the passage, and yet saw nothing of what was going forward. Have you a pair of eyes, Mr. Weller? Apostrophe, yes, I have a pair of eyes, apostrophe, replied Sam, and that's just it. If they was a pair o' patent double million magnifying gas microscopes of extra power, perhaps I might be able to see through a flight o' stairs and a deal door. But being only eyes, you see, my vision is limited. Apostrophe, at this answer, which was delivered without the slightest appearance of irritation, and with the most complete simplicity and equanimity of manner, the spectators tittered, the little judge smiled, and Sergeant Buzfuzz looked particularly foolish. After a short consultation with Dodson and Fogg, the learned sergeant again turned towards Sam, and said, with a painful effort to conceal his vexation, Now, Mr. Weller, I'll ask you a question on another point, if you please. Apostrophe, if you please, sir, apostrophe, rejoined Sam, with the utmost good humor. Do you remember going up to Mrs. Bartle's house, one night in November last? Apostrophe, oh, yes, very well. Apostrophe, oh, you do remember that, Mr. Weller, apostrophe, said Sergeant Buzfuzz, recovering his spirits. I thought we should get at something at last. Apostrophe, I rather thought that too, sir, apostrophe, replied Sam, and at this the spectators tittered again. Well, I suppose you went up to have a little talk about this trial, eh, Mr. Weller? Apostrophe, said Sergeant Buzfuzz, looking knowingly at the jury. I went up to pay the rent, but we did get a talking about the trial, apostrophe, replied Sam. Oh, you did get a talking about the trial, apostrophe, said Sergeant Buzfuzz, brightening up with the anticipation of some important discovery. Now, what passed about the trial, will you have the goodness to tell us, Mr. Weller? Apostrophe, with all the pleasure in life, sir, apostrophe, replied Sam. Arter a few unimportant observations from the two virtuous females as has been examined here today, the ladies gets into a very great state o' admiration at the honorable conduct of Mr. Dodson and Fogg, them two gentlemen as is sitting near you now. Apostrophe this, of course, drew general attention to Dodson and Fogg, who looked as virtuous as possible. The attorneys for the plaintiff, apostrophe, said Mr. Sergeant Buzfuzz. Well, they spoke in high praise of the honorable conduct of Messrs. Dodson and Fogg, the attorneys for the plaintiff, did they? Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, said Sam. They said what a very generous thing it was owed them to have taken up the case on spec, and to charge nothing at all for costs, unless they got them out of Mr. Pickwick. Apostrophe, at this very unexpected reply, the spectators tittered again, and Dodson and Fogg, turning very red, leaned over to Sergeant Buzfuzz, and in a hurried manner whispered something in his ear. You are quite right, apostrophe, said Sergeant Buzfuzz aloud, with affected composure. It's perfectly useless, my lord, attempting to get at any evidence through the impenetrable stupidity of this witness. I will not trouble the court by asking him any more questions. Stand down, sir. Apostrophe, would any other gentleman like to ask me anything? Apostrophe, inquired Sam, taking up his hat, and looking round most deliberately. Not I, Mr. Weller, thank you, apostrophe, said Sergeant Snubbin, laughing. You may go down, sir, apostrophe, said Sergeant Buzfuzz, waving his hand impatiently. Sam went down accordingly, after doing Messrs. Dodson and Fogg's case as much harm as he conveniently could, and saying just as little respecting Mr. Pickwick as might be, which was precisely the object he had had in view all along. I have no objection to admit, my lord, apostrophe said Sergeant Snubbin, if it will save the examination of another witness, that Mr. Pickwick has retired from business, and is a gentleman of considerable independent property. Apostrophe, very well, apostrophe said Sergeant Buzfuz, putting in the two letters to be read, then that's my case, my lord. Apostrophe, Sergeant Snubbin then addressed the jury on behalf of the defendant, and a very long, and a very emphatic address he delivered, in which he bestowed the highest possible eulogiums on the conduct and character of Mr. Pickwick. But inasmuch as our readers are far better able to form a correct estimate of that gentleman's merits and deserts than Sergeant Snubbin could possibly be, we do not feel called upon to enter at any length into the learned gentleman's observations. He attempted to show that the letters which had been exhibited merely related to Mr. Pickwick's dinner, or to the preparations for receiving him in his apartments on his return from some country excursion. It is sufficient to add in general terms that he did the best he could for Mr. Pickwick, and the best, as everybody knows, on the infallible authority of the old adage, could do no more. Mr. Justice Starley summed up, in the old established and most approved form. He read as much of his notes to the jury as he could decipher on so short a notice, and made running comments on the evidence as he went along. If Mrs. Bartle were right, it was perfectly clear that Mr. Pickwick was wrong, and if they thought the evidence of Mrs. Clubpins worthy of credence, they would believe it, and if they didn't, why, they wouldn't. If they were satisfied that a breach of promise of marriage had been committed, they would find for the plaintiff with such damages as they thought proper, and if, on the other hand, it appeared to them that no promise of marriage had ever been given, they would find for the defendant with no damages at all. The jury then retired to their private room to talk the matter over, and the judge retired to his private room to refresh himself with a mutton chop and a glass of sherry. An anxious quarter of an hour lapsed. The jury came back. The judge was fetched in. Mr. Pickwick put on his spectacles, and gazed at the foreman with an agitated countenance and a quickly beating heart. Gentlemen, apostrophe said the individual in black, are you all agreed upon your verdict? Apostrophe, we are, apostrophe replied the foreman. Do you find for the plaintiff, gentlemen, or for the defendant? Apostrophe for the plaintiff. Apostrophe, with what damages, gentlemen? Apostrophe, £750. Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick took off his spectacles, carefully wiped the glasses, folded them into their case, and put them in his pocket. Then, having drawn on his gloves with great nicety, and stared at the foreman all the while, he mechanically followed Mr. Perker and the blue bag out of court. They stopped in a side room, while Perker paid the court fees, and here, Mr. Pickwick was joined by his friends. Here too, he encountered Messrs. Dodson and Fogg, rubbing their hands with every token of outward satisfaction. Well, gentlemen, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Well, sir, apostrophe said Dodson, for self and partner. You imagine you'll get your costs, don't you, gentlemen? Apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Fogg said they thought it rather probable. Dodson smiled, and said they'd try. You may try, and try, and try again, Messrs. Dodson and Fogg, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick vehemently, comma, but not one farthing of costs or damages do you ever get from me, if I spend the rest of my existence in a debtor's prison. Apostrophe, ha, ha. Apostrophe laughed Dodson. You'll think better of that, before next term, Mr. Pickwick. Apostrophe, he. We'll soon see about that, Mr. Pickwick, apostrophe grinned Fogg. Speechless with indignation, Mr. Pickwick allowed himself to be led by his solicitor and friends to the door, and there assisted into a hackney coach, which had been fetched for the purpose, by the ever-watchful Sam Weller. Sam had put up the steps, and was preparing to jump upon the box, when he felt himself gently touched on the shoulder, and, looking round, his father stood before him. The old gentleman's countenance wore a mournful expression, as he shook his head gravely, and said, in warning accents, "I knowed, what 'ud come o' this here mode o' doin' business. Oh, Sammy, Sammy, why weren't there a lady?" Apostrophe apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.